Ministry, Promised Land Missionary Baptist Church.
Amazing, we have done. passage that I'm making. First of all, we have with us Brother Hollingsworth, Brother Eugene Sperling, Brother G.S. Craig. It's always good to have old pastors back with us. Then in letters regretting they couldn't make it was from Brother C.W. Sears, Brother Harris, Brother Christensen. It's always good to hear from them. At this time, I would like to ask Brother Eugene Sperling if he would please know in prayer.
I'm feels for my soul since the day I made Jesus my King. His blessed Holy Spirit is leading my way. He is touching and I'm learning. That was their livelihood.
miles in the far right to the house of Davis. They had to go out here in this virgin forest and cut from these forests a little lot of land to farm and to live. Now, I know when you read the minutes of the history that you know, there will be several transactions of the church. You won't understand. No, it's hard to understand. How you can live without money. Those of you who have never witnessed it or gone through it don't know anything about it. You can't understand. But there are a few here that have gone through since time, almost as it was at the organization of this church at the time that it was organized. Back during the 30s, Promised Land Church went through those times. The bad depression days, there wasn't any money then. So you might not understand as you read how they could go and borrow such little money from the bank, or why it would be so hard to pay the pastor such any salary at all. But I'd like to, again, cause you to think about this community. It was surrounded some 5 miles in any direction by small farms. Promised Land being a central point in the community. They had a schoolhouse. They taught school. They had school here for many years. But times were a lot more destitute, more depressing at the time the church was organized than it ever was in the 30s. Now, I told you that this nation was young. Ashley County was 25 years old. It's 25 years since Ashley County had been created. And, you know, just about 6 weeks ago, our nation inaugurated its 40th president. This church was organized under the administration of the 16th president. And who was that? None other than Abraham Lincoln. What happened during his administration? Well, the nation was torn with war. We were in the middle of the Civil War. 1863 was not the point. At that time, the war had been going on for some year and a half. Almost 2 years. And there have been 11 states that succeeded from the Union. And things were mighty dark. Up until 1863, the South had been winning the major battles in the war. In 1863, the pendulum swung back the other way. They lost the Battle of Gettysburg. Soon after, they lost the Battle of Vicksburg. That gave the Union Army access to Mississippi River. And they could carry their troops up and down the river, anywhere in the United States they wanted to go. This deprived the South of much. They had lost much in those two battles. So the days were dark. At that time, President Abraham Lincoln had gone for some 2 years since he was elected, trying to get popularity enough to have the courage to declare where he stood. They all knew he was in favor of freeing the slaves, but he was afraid if he declared this, up until that time. But other states were seceding from the Union to follow suit. And when those two battles were won by the Union Army, that gave him the strength and power in the great proclamation of the freeing of the slave in 1863. Now, if you might think about it for just a little bit, those poor people, their nation is gone. So far as it's concerned, they have, as rebels, they were rebels against the army that was winning and against the government that was in power. Well, we don't call them children of God. In amongst this little group of pioneers and homesteaders, there were a few born again children of God. And in a great time of trouble, that's when we all of us, children of God, that's when we were the closest to God. They saw their need to meet together. I'm sure they prayed in their homes, individually. But they felt their need to get the closeness of God, because in Him, they had their faith and their hope. Not in the world, but not in the nation. They couldn't have. So they met and organized the church. And we know North Camp School House. There were 11 charter members. 5 men and 6 women. And we have in our midst today several of the descendants of some of those charter members. And we have found that. As you read this history, you might think, well, he's not even sacrificed, mate. We were all skin flints back there, and they saw the pastor, and they didn't try. They did too. They certainly did. They met in that old log cabin schoolhouse and organized the church. They didn't have a couple of pews, as you and I had to sit on today. You know the very first pews they sit on? They went out here in the forest, they cut down big trees, they peel those logs, split them in half, take what they call the metal order, build holes in the back, and drill wooden pegs in there. Turn them over and set them up on those legs. And they take an old hand away and knock the spinner door or something and worship God. And he met them. Now the old log pews were all right. The old log cabin was all right. They went up. They knew Christ was new. But now when it came to the foundation of the church, they turned to the Word of God. They looked at the foundation. They saw where Paul organized the church down in Corinth. He set it up. It had become full of commonalities. It began fussing over the preacher. Faith in Christ never fitted God's word with the rule of grace. Paul wrote a letter. In this letter he reprimanded. He said, by the grace of God that was given me as a wise master builder, when I was with him, I laid the foundation. And another, the other, have built on this foundation. That every man take heed to how he does. permission to request to refer. Now they don't fly in the church. They didn't have to go to park or over the cleaners. And Christ was head of all things to the church. That satisfied them. They placed Christ as head of the church, as foundation of the church. Now, the church has grown more than a century. And it has grown. The church has always had a vision. We've had to change sanctuaries several times. The larger. But that's purpose. We have to sacrifice. It's time to do it. We are. But we want rooms in the church to do everything they can to exalt Christ. But we want to leave room, although we're not telling them that we're strangers to the grace of God. So therefore, God has blessed this church. He has grown in number. And we've changed sanctuary several times. The old sanctuary is gone. The foundation is gone. But there's one thing that we really have to change. There's a foundation of the church. It's still big enough. It's still strong. And it's still there. Thank God we still have that same foundation. And we still have that same head of the church. That's why we have him. Go forward to the Lord. He's always with his own. So now as you read the history of the church, don't think about how little it is. Think about how little it did have. And how blessed you are today. That you can be. That's one of the great things I'm going to do to see that I'm on my
Thank you. be one of the finest, one of the best group of people in the world. I'd like to recognize our building committee. Host of the deacons of our church. We presently have 9 active deacons. Brother John W. Kilcrease of the AC Kilcrease, Jesse Collins, Don Kelly, men made recommendations to Promised Land Church. In agreement 100%, we build what you see today. These men have worked, they've done a good job. If there has been one word of dissension among these men while serving as our committee, I don't know anything about it. This speaks well. These men asked Brother Lewis Wallace to oversee, supervise the structure, the building. I think Brother Wallace has done a real good job. We think we have a good building. We'll accommodate growth of the church in years to come. He hired William Irving, Donald Wallace, Carvin Daniels, helping. We had special donations of a greater number of men than I know to contribute free labor to build this structure. We had young people to come drive nails, act boards, new bidding. Ladies serve meals, I think I've counted one day close to 50 people working on the building. I think the most of you know because of some special providence of the Lord. I believe in Romans 8:28. We lost the rafters because of the wind, rain, and picked him up, set him back up. About 2 days. Personally, I think it was good for our church. I'm not going to stand here and tell you today that I'm glad the rafters fell. Personally, I think it got our people together in a much greater way than we would have had they not fallen. Don't quote me as saying I was glad they fell. See, you know what I mean? Contributed much. There has been monies, free labor donated by non-members. Special offerings that the church as a whole been able to raise somewhere between $40,000 and $50,000. It's already paid. Special thanks goes to Brother Norley Cecil, who's buying the treasure, assistant treasure. Good job, well done. Appointed a committee. Guy Wallace, his wife Jones, Brother Herbert Wallace, planned this program today. I think they did a good job. Special thanks goes to you. Special. Some of the ladies, Calvary Church member, have come today to donate their time in the nursery with our people and all the team for this service.
You lead to
this time, I'd like to ask our pastor, Chris Branch, if he would bring the dedication sermon and close out the service for us.
Several of us nervous. The only dedication that I ever remember attending, and about the only thing that I remember about that as I attended, was when they dedicated the building of my home church. Our committee prepared a program that was supposed to last about an hour plus. We're going to read some verses. I'm planning on bringing a short message. I'll not be able to get it in 4 minutes. You just have to bear with me just a little while. I want to read from the second book of Chronicles, second chapter. That's the book in the Bible. I started to tell you this before the rock. You just have to find the book of second Chronicles. And the second chapter, reading few verses in this chapter, and then I want you to turn to the 7th chapter of the same book, and we'll read a few verses. Chapter 2 of 2 Chronicles, and Solomon determined to build a house in the name of the Lord, and a house for his kingdom. Solomon told out 70,000 men to bear burdens. 4,000 to hew in the mountain, 3,600 to oversee them. Solomon sent Huram, king of Tyre, saying, "As thou didst deal with David my father, didst send the cedars to build him a house to dwell therein, even so deal with me. Behold, I build a house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, to burn for him sweet incense, while it continual showbread, while it burnt offerings morning and evening, on the Sabbath, on the new moons, and on the solemn feast of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance ever to Israel. And the house which I build is great. For great is our God above all gods. And who is able to build him a house, seeing the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain it? Will not then I should build him a house, save only to burn sacrifice before him." Over in the 7th chapter, verse 1, I want to read 5 verses in this chapter. when Solomon had made an end of praying, fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. But all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed themselves with their face to the ground upon the pavement to worship, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, and his mercy endureth forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. We're talking about a work that God's people accomplished in the Old Testament. Work that was directed by God Himself. There's three things that I'd like to share with you in this message today. First of all, let us talk about very special and peculiar people of the Lord. Secondly, of these two people living commands of God. And then last of all, the special meaning about the dedication of this building. I'll try to shift gears, not too far apart and not be too long in the message. First of all, we're talking about a very, very special and peculiar people. God had His people, His peculiar people, and special people even in Old Testament times. I know some people today would have you to believe really God couldn't use any people that have not experienced the salvation that they say that started on the day of Pentecost when God began to reveal to people the new way of salvation. I want you to know this. Regardless of what people say about the new way of salvation that started on the day of Pentecost, God's plan of salvation started after the fall of man, and it never has changed since and never will. God has never had but one plan whereby the people could be placed in a right relationship with Him. And that plan was provided for us in the seed of the woman. That's mentioned in Genesis 3:15. Which had its fulfillment in the birth, the virgin birth of the Son of God when He was born in the world. In this person, God provided for us. It was this person the prophet Isaiah talked about. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace were upon Him, and by His stripes were healed. Bless your heart, Isaiah, one of the greatest prophets we have any record of in the Old Testament, said that he was redeemed by the stripes of the Son of God. He was Isaiah's Savior. He was Moses' Savior. And he's our Savior today. This brought about a peculiar people in the Old Testament, a people that knew the Lord, a people that could recognize Him as Father, that knew how to commune with Him in prayer. We come over in the New Testament. God still has His peculiar people in New Testament times. about the church that Jesus Christ purchased with his precious blood. There's been a question for a long time, which is the greatest institution in the world today? Would it be the home or would it be a New Testament church? I know the home is spoken of in the Word of God a long time before the church is. But bless your heart, I believe that the church, a local New Testament church, is the most precious institution in the world today. Why? Because it was bought and purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. According to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. He redeemed to himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I believe from the depths of my heart that I'm a part of the church that Jesus Christ purchased with his blood and scarred during his